Today is a very special day because it's our very first episode. We're coming to you from the Killian Family Farmhouse to talk about how this all began. We're diving into our deep roots in the Glens Falls and Saratoga community, from the magic of the South High Marathon dance to the reality of raising kids who are now launching into the world. We're reflecting on what we learned during the COVID pause and why, looking back, we wish we'd spent a little less time on the laundry and a lot more time on the floor playing. This is our story of friendship, resilience, and finding our path. This is Four Blonde Moms. You might think we counted wrong because there's just three of us. I don't know where we'd put a fourth one, but I was thinking we'd occasionally have a guest mom with us. So I got the idea for this podcast from talking to my daughter and talking about their moms and thinking like, oh, it'd be so nice if we could get together and talk. And we're having like real deep, meaningful conversations about bringing them up and, you know, what it was like being a mom of a daughter. But then I met these two amazing ladies. So we'll start on the end here. Will you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Laura Killian. I'm mother of a 19-year-old boy, Brock, and a 20-year-old, almost 21, Olivia. Hard to believe. She's going to be 21 in April. I've been married for 21 years this year. Working on a farm, Killian's Beef Ranch, a new venture that we started. Grew up in Saratoga Springs, married my husband. This is his land, his farm, his family's farm, and we're in the family house actually right now. I am a retired dental hygienist, 20 years. I stopped doing dental hygiene during COVID. I was home with my kids about 8 of those years, full-time mom at home, working the farm. We were full-time dairy then. But once COVID hit, I left dental hygiene and launched my coaching Reiki business, which I've been doing now for 26 years behind the scenes. So that's kind of been the undercurrent for me. Yeah, live here on the farm road with my husband and 3 dogs and 2 goats and 45 cows.
45.
So, yeah.
And thank you for hosting us today.
Thank you.
At your Airbnb.
You're very welcome. Nice to have you guys here.
And then we have Judy.
So I'm Judy Vigor, and I'm mom of 4 sons, 29, 24, 22, and 20. So my oldest this year will be 30, and my youngest this year will be 21. So there's 2 milestones this year. And I've been married to my husband for 25 years this year, this August. My family owns Adirondack Tree Surgeons, and I just recently opened up a new salon location in Murrow. So I do that, and I have a dog. I don't know what else.
A
dog. Just 1 dog for right now.
That's a lot still.
I used to have
and
3.
You just reminded me, her son, the 21-year-old, and my daughter graduated together.
Yes.
Too,
oh, yes.
So we have that in common.
Yes. Right?
So.
Livy and Peyton graduated together.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the things that we all had in common is our kids all went to South Glens Falls High School, South High, Go Bulldogs.
Yes.
And are similar ages.
Yes.
So, but it just happened that I met the 2 of you around the same time, and you knew each other. So we met all from different ways. But first I'll say, I'm Ann Donnelly, and I am the founder of North Country Media Network, which is new, where I am producing and distributing podcasts. I have a digital marketing background, and I'm also a business growth strategist. So, and I am divorced. I was married for 20 years and lived in Ireland on a beef farm. So that's so cool, funny,
yeah.
Right? And that I am the education chair of the Women's Business Council of the Adirondack Regional Chamber. And I had organized an HR panel that was hosted at Aerobank because I'd met some of their HR people and was very impressed. And then there was some other HR people I knew from GTM payroll and HR consultants, and their HR person was really sharp,
And so they agreed to speak on the panel also, and she brought along Sarah Martin. And Sarah was interested in having a podcast because she's into wellness. So Sarah was amazing. She's like, you have a podcast? I want to hear all about your podcast. And so we got talking, and then I do hip-hop dance fitness. And she's like, oh, you have got to meet Laura Killian. She's one of the Storm Squad, and she's into wellness, and she lives near you. So I'm like, I don't know if I've ever heard of her. Like, I would think I would have known most of the people around the area. Mm-hmm. And then I recently met Judy because I interviewed her because she was opening the new location of the salon at Murrow Commons. And then within a couple of weeks, I met the both of you. And when I was speaking, because we talked for hours.
Like 3 hours.
Right? And I was late for a meeting. And she said something about, had been talking to Judy, and I was like, oh my God, like we all know each other. So I always think that's a sign that, you know, you guys are meant to do something together. So this was one of our ideas. And we are all blonde in one way or another.
Yes.
And I thought four blonde moms was pretty cool. And I have met some other blonde moms that we might invite on if we can squeeze them in. You know, but I mean, we could try different settings and things, but this is our pilot.
Yeah.
So we figured we would get started. And my mom story is, and I was very impressed how you could all reel off the ages of your children very quickly, because I have to do the math. And even though recently we've, maybe it's because I'm older than these two. So maybe that's my problem. My brain is going to mush. But so I know my daughter's 23. She just turned 23. So she's my youngest. Then the next son was born in 2000, so that means he's 25 and he's going to be 26. And then the other son was born in 98, so how old does that make him? 27, he's going to be 28.
Yeah.
So it's very similar
ages.
Very similar ages. So my daughter went to South High, my two sons are still in Ireland. So I lived in Ireland for 20 years, that's where the beef farm was. And after 20 years, decided to come back here. I got a divorce, brought my daughter here with me, so she did all 4 years at South High here. So.
Yeah, South High Marathon coming up soon.
South High Marathon, support. Yes. I was blown away, like, the first year we were here.
Yeah.
And found out about that, because, like, in 40 years it's been going, has it?
Yeah.
And they have raised millions of dollars for mm-hmm. local charities.
Yeah, like, and I asked my husband, like, did you do marathon when you went to school there? Because he's a South High graduate as well. And he's like, no, we rode motorcycles. The girls danced, like, back in the day. But now it's not cool if you're not really dancing so much. I mean, some people opt out because it's noisy and it's a lot. But for the most part, it's such a huge community event.
It is.
And the first time I went, I had been doing, you know, a lot of the healing work. And I sat there it was very emotional sitting there, like the closing and the opening remarks. And I remember thinking, you know, you can tell your kids to give, you can tell them, give, be nice to people, be generous, donate, you know, do for others, love your neighbor. But when you feel what those kids feel, like, to me, you can't teach that. You can't teach that feeling, and so they'll go the rest of their lives knowing what it felt like to make a difference. Like, I just thought that's a thing that's probably missing in most schools that would be great to launch. And isn't there one in, like, Virginia or the Carolinas that started? They've started another marathon somewhere, and I think they've kept it going. Yeah. But I just think it's remarkable. Yeah. I love that they were a part of that growing up.
It's pretty amazing. And it's not easy for them to put it on because all the kids from the school. Plus, they involve the middle school kids and all the elementary school, because there's like 5 or 6 elementary schools that feed into the school district. And it starts on a Friday night, and then it goes through to the Saturday night, right? Yeah. So they do an overnight. They're not all dancing all the time, but something's going on all the time. And they pick a theme, they decorate. So to be, like, in that gym, when you've got all the kids on the floor and the stands are packed, and it's such a vibe. And then the second year, I think, was the year that we were starting to hear about COVID. So it wasn't shut down yet, but it was like the Monday after
it was,
marathon.
Yes, so close.
It was right after.
I had a bad cold.
Yeah,
yeah, it was right.
And
right
I was like, people are going to think I have COVID. Like, yeah. I was trying to stay yeah. away from people, but there's just so many people crowded. And then all the volunteers that have to organize people coming in and out, the kids having their breaks, the food for everybody, and then they do all the auctions. Like, you yeah. can't have a charity event without a big basket auction.
Remember, they had the
auction.
Hand sanitizer was the first year. Yeah. They had it at every yeah. pen at the silent auction. And I remember being at the dental office St. Patrick's Day when it shut down. Right. And so you figure marathon's the first weekend of yes. March. Yeah. So it was, I mean, it was just finishing up.
Because and that year I had a senior Jason, a junior Philip, and a freshman Peyton. So my three youngest got to be in high school together that year and do marathon. And then literally, like, they left school one day and never went back, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird to think about it. Like,
it
never
was
went
tough
back.
For them.
The seniors. Yeah.
yeah. And now my daughter's college now. Like, she's going to Keuka College, which is a small private college in the Finger Lakes. And there's not a lot of social stuff. And I'm wondering, like, is that because of everything shut down during COVID and it just hasn't started up again? Because I always thought college, there'd be all these clubs, all these activities, and all these social things. And there's very little. There's some, but not a lot.
Yeah, and does she crave it? Because these kids, it'll be interesting to see, like, what they got used to being alone, and
right.
some of them really struggled. Like, there's so many things I feel like we'll see later on, knowing that these kids are like history of going through. I mean, we are too, but history of being a kid in high school and going through where
yeah,
your high
yeah.
school shuts down.
And some kids did great with it. Like, my kids were okay because they, I mean, yes, they missed their friends and school and their sports and everything, but they had each other at least. And, so they got through it okay, but other kids, I know for a fact, went through depressions. It was very
Absolutely.
Hard for their
yeah.
other kids, you know. Our, yeah. I think, too, the kids, they feed off from our energy. So if we try to make it be all right, they're going to be all right. Where if we're,
True.
You know,
yeah.
upset about it, then they get upset about it more, you know.
Well, see, so this is something we can talk about now, is parenting through COVID. Because I was a single mom. When I first came back from Ireland, I lived with my brother for a year. And then I had sufficient means to rent a house. So we had a nice house. So it was just my daughter and I. And when all this news started coming out, I really had a bit of a panic attack.
Yeah.
And I'm a pretty calm person. I've been through a lot. Like, I moved to New York City by myself. I moved to Europe. Like, I'm a pretty able person. But when I was thinking, like, how are we going to survive? Because they were like, you got to get gas because there's not going to be any gas and there's going to be, you know, no food and all these things. And I'm like, how do I know I'm doing the right thing? So I was pretty strict with all the things because I was like, better to be safe than sorry. Because you just didn't know.
No, that was the thing. We didn't know. We were living
yeah.
through something. We didn't know what was going to happen. You know what I mean? You did the best you could with what we had. You know
yeah.
what I mean? You didn't know.
And we were able to manage fairly well because I was self-employed. I was working from home anyway. So that was one thing that was
a blessing.
Yeah. I didn't have to change up that too much. I was working for clients in Northern Ireland. So,
yeah, so you
know,
were already virtual.
So they were suffering because they were all tourism-related businesses.
Yeah.
So they were suffering and having to pivot because they could have no tourists. You know, they relied on Irish, UK, and Americans coming over. So that was a whole other struggle for them. So part of the work I was doing with them was thinking of other ways they could do things, you know, like museums doing stuff online,
yeah.
you know, because that was a big pivot for everybody starting to do stuff online.
I remember feeling so grateful because of the land, like having
right.
outdoors. Like
yeah.
I had lived a little while in Long Island when I was younger and worked at the racetracks down there, and thinking of like being in an apartment building or not being able to play basketball. I think they
yeah.
took the nets off the kids' courts down there everywhere.
So they wouldn't. Yeah.
So like
yeah.
these, like having the land and being able to go, and we had our COVID family, like my
right.
sister-in-law lives across the road. So we would go out hiking and we would take the dogs like on the land. But just having fresh air and being able to get outside felt like a blessing because
yeah.
it was so contractual during that time. And then And then being a year, I remember being a year, I think Pat and I went, and then we both got COVID together. Talk about like a marriage and parenting through that. Like we had to like put one kid upstairs. My mother was gone in Florida because she has an apartment above our garage. So having like Livy go upstairs and live up there and Brock be confined to his bathroom, the kitchen, and try not to get him sick. Like it was a scary, unknown, weary time.
And it lasted a long time.
It was a long time.
You know, it really did, because the kids went back. They didn't go back full time in the fall. They went back, like, remember they had their days, and the college shut down. I remember Jay went out to college. We got them all set up, and then they shut down. And it was definitely a weird time.
And I remember loving it as well. Like, I remember the kids yelling at me for pulling on the side of the road and getting rocks, because I was like, let's paint rocks. And they were like, young adults or older teens then. But I was like, let's be creative. And then it turned fun. Like my sister-in-law would come over, and she's a teacher, Ellen, you know, and seeing what her rock was and stuff, and playing board games again. Like, it did bring it back to, like, what was important, like family and friends and dinners on the table. Like, that, those were the things that, to me, even now, I feel like we're going back to. Like, what's really important? What did COVID show us was important in the pause? So there was, like, all the fear, all the, like, what is this? What is it doing mentally to our humanity and our children and their, you know, kids that are in that pivotal time of learning and socializing.
Right.
And like, wow, this is what's really important. Like being together as a family, not doing the grind and the pressure and the success and the creating. And I got to go have do this to be purposeful. Like it was a pause that actually was really kind of juicy and crazy scary, and we lost a lot of people, which was really heartbreaking through it. So it was like kind of fascinating to see both that were happening. But my kids, I would say overall, if you add, like, they enjoyed the freedom of not having the structure of going to school and stuff. But I think the socialization at that age was really hard. So when they opened that first marathon at Great Escape and none of us could go, you know, we watched like the donations go down because it was, you know, we weren't there like to contribute.
It wasn't the same.
But yet I remember having the kids came to my house to do breakfast. Like I had a crew, I think we had 30, and of course they had released from the, you know, they could wear the masks and all that. And that was nice to take the pictures outside and see them like starting to be able to break back into socialization. But it wasn't the same. It didn't have the vibe. And it was hard to not be there as a parent, for sure.
Right. My oldest son's college graduation, when he got his bachelor's degree, was virtual. I had planned on going over to Ireland for it, but then when I heard it was going to be virtual.
Yeah.
So we're just kind of watching online, you know, and it's not quite the same.
I watched the boys' basketball games at home. You know, it was crazy. Yeah. You couldn't watch them in person. You watched your son play basketball with a mask on, you know, at your TV at home.
Which was ridiculous.
Yeah, and then like, the hardest was for my Jay because he was a senior and he didn't get the senior things. He lost out, you know, on the lacrosse season and all the senior fun things. And his graduation was at the drive-through. You know, it was like at the drive-through. You were allowed one car. So we packed our car with as many people as we could. So I think it was hard on him. The most, and seeing him miss out. But I think when they look back, they'll be like, oh, you know, it'll be like, whoa, wow, you know, what'd you do during COVID, you know? And there's going to be, pluses and minuses about it, right?
Yeah. But that's hard, those milestones.
That was tough for him. Yeah.
Because I remember even just Livy, a birthday drive-by was like, okay, but it was a birthday. Yeah. So a graduation is pretty monumental.
And he said, too, like, you know, there's some friends that you have at school that, you know, maybe you don't, and even teachers, but you just left school one day and you never went back. So there was people that maybe you never got to see again, really. They were kind of your friends in school, but you didn't really hang out with them outside of school, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's hard.
That was tough, you know.
Especially if you're a senior.
Yeah.
Because people go their own ways.
They do. Yeah. I mean, I had friends in school that, you know, we were friends in school, but maybe we didn't hang out outside of school, you know?
But there's that last day of
saying goodbye.
Saying goodbye.
Signing the yearbook.
Yes. Teachers and coaches you're never going to see again, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we survived, and I think we learned a bit of resilience from all that. But,
yeah.
I usually get annoyed when someone brings up COVID in an interview, but I figured.
Well, I know. And, you know, it's hard because COVID is like politics. Like, people go crazy with it. So it is a tough time. Like, it's something that people are this way or that way, and it's something, I don't know, it's hard to talk. I will say there is something that I do miss about COVID, and that's people, like, washing their hands and not, like, going out in public when they're sick. People are gross
still,
again, you know.
I think some people have built up some good habits.
Yeah.
I think, you know, from that. Like, one thing I realized, I went over to Vermont. I wasn't supposed to go to Vermont, but I went over to Vermont for something. I won't say what. And I went into a bookstore, and, like, we're all supposed to be 6 feet apart and everything. And, like, there's people getting next to me. But, like, I'm always, like, I'm not going to be right up next to somebody anyway. Like, I tend to.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I'm short.
Know your energy field.
Yeah. Right? And I'm short, too. So, like, you know, I have to protect my space. You know, when you go to a concert or something, you're in a crowded space or subways and things like that, because I lived in cities for a while. And I was like, I never liked it when people were less than 6 feet from me anyway. You know, like, why are people getting all up in my space, you know? So I did enjoy that a bit.
I just think it's interesting now to look back at those, you know, if we're talking about parenting, to, like, we're all in the empty nester stage, right? Like, I'm just new this fall. I know you would. Just pretty fresh off of that, a year, 2 years now, or not even a year and a half. So it is that, like, looking back, right, and looking back at the like the COVID, the younger years, and like the reflection of it, and the what could I have done better? There's tons of that, and it is interesting. And then to, like, sit here and talk about it, like, bring up COVID, because it was a really weird time
that you
kind of just went through it, and, like, I feel like that was kind of all of parenting, really. Looking back now, it was like, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, I remember hearing, like, grandparents be like, well, you just wait. It goes by so fast. And now you're, like, feeling what they felt. And, you know, it's not just a catchphrase.
I remember we were out to dinner with the boys. They were all little, me, Jason, and all the boys. And we were, like, at Red Lobster. And this old couple, she came over at the end. She goes, oh, I'm just admiring your beautiful family. I hope you enjoy them. It goes by so fast. And I always think about that, because she's so right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's like they start school and then they're graduating. And now it's like they're young men and they're, you know, it's sad how fast it goes.
It does go so fast. Yeah. But have you found it a challenge, like, to kind of let go? Because I think, like, I've seen my daughter has matured. And I'm confident that she's going to manage herself well. On Sunday, she's moving down to New York City for 3 months.
Which is awesome.
Right? Yeah. So I moved to New York at 17. So, like, I know it's doable.
Yep.
Right? But she's my baby.
Right.
And she's going to New York City. But she's staying with my friends. So I know that she's got, like, a safe place to stay and someone that's going to be looking out for her. So, but, you know, she's traveled and, you know, so I know she's able. But sometimes it's hard to let go, you know. I don't know if it's harder if it's your youngest.
What do you think? I mean, you had your oldest, your first go to college, and then your baby. Like, what was harder for you, do you think?
I moved to New York, too. So there's another thing in common when I was 18, to work the racetrack circuit. So that's interesting. And my mom had to, like, she'll say, my brother moved to Colorado and my daughter went to New York City, like, to Queens. Like, she was kind of like, so... For me, I think it was easier with Liv because Livy is at SUNY Corpuskill, so she's an hour and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So letting go of, like, checking Life 360, like, my mom didn't have that. That's a thing that I have to be like, I'm going to go to bed and I'm not going to see that she's home tonight. Like, I don't do it. At first, it was like I'm, you know, checking all the time. So, but that got me used to it, I think, in a gentler way, because she would, because of the farm and Libby wanting to pursue the farm, she comes home more. Where Brock's further, he's at Cortland, he's 3 hours, and didn't really want to be home as often, wanted kind of the whole experience. But the letting go thing is funny, because I too feel confident in them that but the I feel confident that they'll be good, and they're maturing, and they've got the goods. They're good people. I feel like they're kind. Right. I feel like my kids are kind. They cannot be sometimes, but so can I. I feel like they're kind, and I feel like that's the most important thing. But I do find that they're ready. They're like ready.
Yeah. They are.
They're ready. Even if they come home for a while or they need to come. I went back home with my mom for a while at one point. But I felt like, I feel like they're kind of ready to launch. They hit that age. But letting go of the worry when it's snowy and they're driving back out to college and stuff like that's not going away.
That will never go away.
That's not. But Brock was more, it was more of, I think, both. That him going further and then the finality of me looking at my husband and being like, good thing we built our marriage, because here we are.
Well, that's like, when people find out if they actually like each other or not, right? Well, you're like, I like this guy.
And that
could have
been a contributing factor for me, too.
Yeah.
Now, my son stayed in Ireland when I moved here. So one was in his last year of secondary school, and the other one had started college. So that was a very difficult decision.
Yeah.
But I really did feel the need, and I'm happy that I did make the move here with my daughter. You know,
but that's a bigger, like I say, Cortland.
Yeah,
we're talking another
place. We're about an hour drive
in a different time zone. And I was telling some women the other day about how I have a reminder on my phone to check in every week.
Right.
Because, like, we send each other memes on Instagram and, you know, we chat little bits here and there. But to make sure that I've actually said, like, how are you doing? What's your weekend like? What are you doing? You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't think you'd forget your children, but, like, they forget. They don't forget me, but, like, they've got their lives.
They're just busy.
Yeah, they've got lives.
And that's hard, too, because I feel like I didn't check. Like, am I not checking in enough with both of my kids? But then the part of me that also knows. But that, like, feeling like I don't want them to think, what'd you do today? Did you eat? What'd you eat? You know, I don't want to be too much and give them the space. But then also being like, I miss you. What's going on? How are you? So that to me is a little tricky, too, to kind of lean in on them to check in and stuff, too. But
I mean, it does help nowadays with FaceTime and all that. I don't know how people did it before, you know, back, like, our parents.
Send a letter. Can you imagine?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Telephone, like long-distance phone calls.
I miss your kid, you FaceTime.
Well, with my mom. So my generation, right? My mom actually got ill. Like we were very close. And then when I moved at 17, right, to go to college in New York City, she got ill. She was not, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough for her. But we did talk on the phone a lot. Like, I used to use some fake credit card number to make calls. You know, I'd go to some pay phone, use some fake credit card number and talk to my mom. So sorry, whoever had to deal with that. But those were the old days, you know, where you had pay phones and...
Yeah. Or it was expensive to call long distance. Yeah.
And I'd get a letter. I'd get letters from her with, like, $5 in it, you know, things like that. But, you know, that was tough. Now she was in Gloversville. I'm from Gloversville originally. So she was in Gloversville. So I'd take the bus up if I had the money, you know, take the bus up from the city. And because the train, I'd have to get someone to pick me up in Amsterdam to get to Gloversville. So
even thinking about being on the phone, sitting there, you have to sit there. Where now you could be in the car. Yeah. I can be on a 40-minute drive to Clifton Park and call a kid to catch up. Where you had to sit, like, it was a...
Or FaceTime thing. For certain events if someone can't be there.
To see things.
Or, like, now even sporting events, they're live-streamed, really, at all the schools. Yeah. So,
well, when I moved to Ireland, everybody was... Because I lived in New York City from... 81 to 94, then I moved to London, I was there for 4 years, and then I moved to rural Ireland, and everybody was like, oh, yeah, how can you stand it? And that's when the internet was starting to take off a bit, so I could still keep in touch with my family fairly well, but now, like, we're so well connected, you don't miss anything.
Yeah, you don't.
Which is nice.
Yeah. It is nice.
Yeah. Though some people feel we're too connected.
Right.
But, you know... And need more time offline. Like, did you struggle with that? So our kids are all that age where they grew up with the internet and online gaming and stuff like that. Did you find it hard to manage their usage? Were there issues?
Did I find it hard? Yeah, I mean, it was a babysitter at times when you just needed a break. So that was like, and then I felt, you know, there were other parents that were doing it differently and having time limits. And I was just kind of like, I need a hot minute. Yeah. So you're going to be on it. And then did I create addiction? Because they, I mean, it's their generation.
But they did so many other things.
They were sports kids.
Your kids were real sporty.
My kids were so busy. And, you know, I grew up watching TV, you know, and I don't know. I really never had an issue with my boys. I mean, did they like to play video games? Yeah, they did, but I think they did all the other things too. It never affected.
Yeah, that's the balance.
You know, the phones, like they never, I don't know. I have boys, so it might be different for girls. You know, I don't know. They were fine, I thought.
My kids did the balance with video games. It was funny. I never let them play Fortnite, but I knew if they went to friends' house, they were going to play it. I wasn't like the mom that was calling and being like, you can't play it over there. Yeah. I just was like, I'm not going to do that at home. But it's funny. They play now a little bit. Then he's like, I'm playing Fortnite at 20. I really did that.
My kids played Grand Theft Auto.
I told them they could have sports, but not in the house. Funny. And it was this whole, like, I had been doing a lot of the healing work and the seeing the killing and the desensitization. Yep. And I just was like, okay, we're not going to do it. But I'm also not going to be like, you can't go over to Peyton's house and play
it.
Then
they're going to want to play. Yeah. And I don't even know what Fortnite really is. It. I mean, I think the kids play it, but I don't think it was one. They played a lot of like the Madden and the NBA. They played more sports.
Yeah, they'd like that. Sports crazy.
Yeah. They could do that.
But they did play other games. I sometimes feel like the more you tell kids they can't do something they want to too.
It's hard. Yeah. Mine were into, like, I was like, no shooting games, like Call of Duty.
Well, that's what Fortnite is.
My brother was killed in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So I kind of was a bit sensitive about anything, especially if it was modern warfare kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I gave in. You know how it's funny how you give in when it was a James Bond thing? Because we were really into James Bond.
Yeah.
And a really good quality, like, it was GoldenEye, I think, around the time of that came out, and the kids wanted it, and I got it for them for Christmas.
The best mom ever.
We were really into James Bond, like, because we like watching movies together, and like at holiday times, we'd watch like the whole series, like all of the Indiana Jones, and all. We tried to do all the James Bond. This is when you had to go to the video store
and rent them
and rent the videos, and you know, in Ireland too, because it's. You don't have as much access. Like, you'd have to drive an hour to get to the movie. No, they had a movie theater nearby. And I had, like, three, I think. But, you know, or you'd drive an hour to get to this. Kind of like from here to Albany. It was, like, where we were to Cork City, where you'd go to the mall.
Kids don't even realize how that we had to actually, on a Friday, go to Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Rent a movie or a video game or whatever.
So we did. My kids did do that. And sometimes they're a bit nostalgic for that.
Yeah.
You know, but that was the gateway to the fighting games.
Yeah.
And then one of my sons was into Assassin's Creed, which is kind of medieval. And I thought that was cool, too. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I guess killing games aren't so bad.
Maybe. Well, they would always just be like, Mom, you're being ridiculous. And then the older they got, they were like, come on now. And I was like, oh, well, we just never did it. Now, the phones, I mean, that was always a challenge. But even for my husband and I, like, my work was so busy after the Me Too movement, I was on my phone all the time to the point that they'd be talking to me and then they'd leave and I'd be like, oh my God, I didn't even listen to what they said.
Yeah.
So I would, I can, and even now, I mean, I'll realize that Brock's home from Cortland or Livy and they're telling me something about school and I will try to put my phone down and be focused because it just felt like I was
because of work you're consumed it's not that you're on there playing games or anything, it's just you
but that can definitely it's hard to put it down it's hard to like not the habit of checking it, so I could say they have that issue, but I have the same issue.
My husband said that he just went to a restaurant where they have like no Wi-Fi there, and everybody's always like, "Oh, what's your Wi-Fi? What's your Wi-Fi?" And they said, "No, we don't have it here. Put your phone down and just talk to each other." Yeah. And I'm like, "That's not a bad idea. What I mean? It's not a bad idea."
It's hard though, because there's some places where you like rent a home, like for a vacation, and they don't have Wi-Fi, and you're like, "What? No Wi-Fi?"
Well, you're like, "What if there's an emergency?"
Sometimes the farm glitches.
I can imagine.
It's satellite. We don't have cable Wi-Fi option here. You don't even have the option. So if the wind blows the right way, it's like time to play video board games with each other and go outside and start a fire. So
it's a good time to, you know, bond with people. But like my oldest son is working on his PhD in machine learning. So it's done him well.
Yep.
Right? So he's in that industry. Because when they were young, I got involved with this initiative called Coder Dojo. So through me being in digital marketing, kind of the tech industry around Cork City, there was this guy that started this coding clubs for kids. And it was all free. And that's what I loved about it. You found a business that would provide space. It may be like, no, like you'd have maybe one laptop per family at the time. But within this initiative, they worked on ways that you could get more laptops, you know, refurbished laptops and stuff. So it was helping teach kids how to do coding.
That's cool.
And like, and so his thing was for the kids to be the creators, not just the users, yeah. not just consumers of it.
Yep.
So my kids were involved with that young, and they used to help me with, you know, some of the work I was doing, like doing website updates and stuff like that. So, you know, I see the benefit of it, but yes, I was online a lot because that was my business too. And also my connection with the world when I was up in rural Ireland.
Yes. The farm's a big part of, I think, my kids, you know, they'll say, like, the one thing you don't want to hear and the first thing in the morning is the cows are out, because, like, the farm created an environment where they got pushed outside more than right. they might have typically. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah.
we need help. The cows are running down the yeah. road. Like, we all got to go. Everybody knows there's no...
I've been
like,
there, too.
Right?
I've been there, too, yeah.
So the farm helped. We would camp down by the brook. Some of the great memories, just being able to be, just again, outside the campers and mm-hmm. having friends and the 4-H crew down there and doing that kind of stuff. So that definitely helped them be off their phones and stuff yeah. like that. But it's their generation too. So.
We weren't yeah. as active on the farm. Like, there was a little bit of that, but yeah, yeah, we weren't as active.
Their and Libby liked it more than Brock, you know.
Yeah, she's going into that.
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
She loved it more. So yeah. We'll see the young generation farmers coming up. So
right.
She's
future farmers of America.
Yeah. She's really excited. So
it helps for moms, like even younger moms, I think, to hear some of these things. Because I get different people that ask me opinion. Like, I have a friend that has two young children. And they're at that point now. It's like, do we want a third? And I said, you know what? If you're really comfortable financially and with your time and with your energy, you're great parents, you know, you've got family support. But I would think twice.
I would
think twice about having... Now, I love my daughter, and I know she'll kill me, because we've had this conversation,
yeah, no.
and I'm... Because I had two boys, so I wanted to try for a girl. So, you know, I'm happy with my three. But I think that people really need to think about, you know...
I think that...
you have four.
I have four, and I would have had more. I think you're... Sometimes you're not... You don't have all the... boxes checked off yeah. to have kids.
See, I was older too.
But
I was almost 40 when I had Virginia.
But I think that, like, if you're with the right person, you know, I don't know, like,
because there's a lot.
I mean, after you have one, okay, you have two. I think after you have two, like,
is it that much more work to just?
I know you might, like. I mean, really, what was the? I mean, you have one, two, three, four. What's the difference? I don't know. I mean, I guess the financially it's tough. I guess.
Yeah.
I had three in college 1 year, so that was really tough.
Yes, I can imagine. Yeah, I have three in college.
Yeah, that's hard.
Ireland's a lot cheaper than
is
here.
It?
Yeah.
Knew I should have moved over there.
Well, my husband's mom had 12, so
yeah.
she was pregnant right. for 20 years.
Those farm yeah. families.
Yeah. yeah. I think if we had started younger, maybe we yeah. would have had more. I think if I was to talk to younger moms out there, I would say... You know, if you want to be a parent that's home, be home. And if you want to be a parent and a woman that's out there doing juggling both, do mm-hmm. that. But for me, looking back, there's like this, there was so much hustle of like creating the business.
Yeah.
And I don't regret my path at all. But like, I look back and think, wow, juggling the sports, juggling the parenting,
yeah.
feeling like I had to get out there. Because now as an empty nester... I'm like enjoying doing a load of laundry. Like, I'm present and
yeah.
I'm like a cup of tea. And it was kind of like, what was that? Like, those years of just, I guess that's when we have the fire in us
yeah.
to get out and to get those yeah. things motivated. But it was a lot.
It was a lot.
And I look at, like, I wanted to make my kids lunches. I wanted to
Same.
Show up at all their games.
Same.
And like, why did I think as a woman I also had to build this whole thing? And again, I don't have any regrets about it, but like looking back and observing, it's okay to just want to be home and parent. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
And it's great to do whatever else you love right. and follow kind of your soul's path and your desire. But it was a lot. It's a
yeah,
lot.
It is
and,
a lot.
You know, you know, having a relationship that you're right. building and being mm-hmm. with your kids, traveling and being able to, I just look at it and I think, wow, you know, at 53, almost 50 years old, I'm like, I'm kind of tired right now, you know, like it was looking back, it was a real time of busyness. And I'm glad I wouldn't change going to Alder and loved mm-hmm. every minute of it,
yeah.
but so be present and don't feel like you have to go do everything, you know, because that's to me, like what's my takeaway. I'm glad I took those years to be home with them when I did. And I'm glad I didn't, you know, work weekends so that way I could be at their sporting events and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Because I was self-employed, so it was easy enough for me to plan my work around the kids' schedule. But I do also advise young moms, like, really think about, like, how much time you're putting in and can you be present? Because that was around the same time, too, I discovered Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
And I was, like, trying to be present while they're doing their homework. And I'm thinking, I got to do this work and I've got to, you know, this to do at work. And then when you're at work, you're thinking about your kids.
Yeah.
That's what you got to watch out for. And like you said, I think the biggest message is don't have any regrets. I don't regret it. It was my path. It was my life. I learned you've got to go through stuff. Like we talk about how if the kids knew what we knew,
right?
They've got to live it. They've got to go through their journey.
Yeah.
But I kind of wish maybe I'd worked less. I do.
Yeah. I wish I didn't worry about the dumb stuff so much and just like got on the floor more and played with them.
Yeah.
Doing the laundry or worrying about this or that. Like, I just wish I took more time to just enjoy them because it went by so fast. And we did play and stuff, but I wish I could go back and just be more present than I was.
Especially now that they're gone.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh,
I agree.
Yeah.
So I would say that would be across the board for us.
Definitely.
Three blonde moms.
So us three blonde moms, be present. Don't have any regrets.
Goes by
Follow
fast.
Your path. It goes by fast.
And enjoy the ride. All our cliche quotes.
Enjoy the ride. So thank you very much for listening in. Subscribe. Leave us comments, questions, whatever you think you'd like to hear us talking about. All us wise old moms. And we'll talk to you next time.
It's been so wonderful sharing our origin story with you today. From the fields of the Killian Farm in upstate New York to the streets of New York City, and then even West Cork in Ireland, our paths are all different, but our hearts are in the same place. I hope today's chat reminded you to take a breath, enjoy your kids exactly where they are, and maybe leave the laundry for tomorrow. We're so glad you're on this journey with us.